Welcome to the Develop Yourself podcast, where we teach you everything you need to land your first job as a software developer by learning to develop yourself, your skills, your network, and more. I'm Brian, your host. I want to talk to you about the biggest mistakes of my career as a software developer so far, and not just the mistakes, but what I learned from them, so hopefully you can avoid my fate, and also maybe just get a kick out of some of the screw-ups I've made. So maybe I fooled some of you out there. You say, this guy's got a podcast, he owns a boot camp, engineering manager, you know, written code for a while. But, you know, I've made a ton of mistakes. I've never really been the best coder at any place I've been. I really love this profession. It's why I still continue to do it. It's why I love to teach it. It's what led me to want to own Parsity and work with people at scale and teach more people how to get into this profession in the right way and ideally avoid some of the mistakes I've made. But just as a reminder, when you see people online and you're thinking, oh, wow, that person's in X position or they've had this many years of experience, trust me, we've all made a lot of mistakes. There is one constant thread that runs through all the conversations I've had with developers that I admire. They all have some very, very interesting mistakes and embarrassing mishaps that have happened along the way. I'm going to share with you four different ones that I've gone through at some of the companies that I've been at just so far. I'm sure I'll make more in the future. I'm sure I'm making some right now that I don't even know about. So 10 years ago, I got my first developer job. I knew HTML, CSS, and a little bit of jQuery and a little bit of JavaScript. Way less than basically all bootcamp grads, significantly less than literally any Parsity grad. And you may be thinking, oh yeah, well, that was that long ago. And no, it was still unusual. Trust me, it was not the norm to be hired with just knowing that. Especially in the Bay Area, I was at a much smaller company, not tech focused, and they gave me the benefit of the doubt. They hired me and I was shocked. I came on the job expecting to do mostly front-end stuff, and it was a full-stack C-sharp SQL .NET place. And I was way out of my league and way out of my depth. They were amazing. They helped me out tremendously in my career. I can't thank them enough. Company is Grocery Outlet, by the way. Check them out. Anyway, I'm here at this company, and I have a pretty big task they've given me. They said, we're going to need you to create this application. And in retrospect, that was pretty wild. They say, you are going to create this application. It's going to be called the Pinx app, and it's going to handle refunds for customers. So I'm writing this thing, and I get this list of the different conditions we have to meet. So if somebody's like, oh, you're on the East Coast, or it's this time of the month, or it's this type of product, or, you know, there's some variation of combinations which determine your refund amount. And I'm in charge of this thing, right? And so I've never really dealt with complex logic at this point. And so I just write out this really long if-else statement in JavaScript. I mean, 100 lines of code, right? And maybe if you're listening to this and you're just learning JavaScript, you're thinking, oh, what's wrong with that? And I kind of thought the same thing until it went out to production, completely blew up. And it was the most embarrassing moment because it was my first big project they gave to me. I'm thinking, I'm for sure getting fired here. And I won't lie, the developers were not pleased at all. It wasn't like just, you know, like, oh, it's okay. Not quite. It was like, we're going to get into a room and fix this immediately. And no one's going home until we do. And, you know, the lesson I learned, you know, maybe think through the logic a little bit more. I probably should have gotten further review. I was so nervous and scared to let other people see my code and see what I was working on that I just wanted to just get it out there and think, well, it works enough. I've seen it work for me, and completely naive, didn't even consider how hard it would be to maintain the logic. That's the other thing. Once the guy saw it, he's like, I can't believe this kind of works. The problem was, he's like, what if we need to add another condition? What if we had to have like another five conditions? So ultimately, we used a SQL table to manage the logic. And in general, I'd say if you have conditional statements in JavaScript that are over like three different conditions or four, some arbitrary number, when you're getting into the double digits, you absolutely need to rethink, wait a second, is there a better way to do this? I would generally say use an object. And if you don't know how to do that, look it up, ask ChatGPT. It'll run you through how you can use an object rather than a conditional statement. And if you're really confused on that, please reach out to me because I could make a video and explain it. I'd be happy to. I think it's a really great way to optimize your code. Other big mistake at this same company. was using a for loop within another for loop within another for loop for a real-time ordering application. People are going on to this application we wrote, and they're ordering stuff for their store, and they all get on the app around the same time. So here's this for loop, three of them, in fact, all nested within each other. And again, if you're hearing this and you're saying, what's so wrong with that? I would encourage you to look up Big O notation and look up what is the runtime complexity of a triple nested for loop. And I just said a word salad of tech buzzwords. That's okay. Don't expect you to maybe know exactly what that means. The problem, though, with me not having a computer science background, understanding the problem with writing code like this is that it works for a very small sample set, right? You say, oh, if you're using some data on your machine and you're using some test data, which is not the data that would be in real life. I mean, how could you test it in real life? You would typically test some code on your machine using a very small subset of data. And then when you push it out to the real world and users are using it, well, the data, the traffic increased by tenfold. The problem with having a triple nested for loop and you're giving a real-time ordering application to customers out there that are all ordering at the same time typically is that it slowed down to a crawl. And then when my coworker saw it, he's like, wait, what? You put three for loops like inside of each other? And I'm like, what's the problem? They gave me a crash course in Big O notation that day and generally how to tell if the code you're writing is going to hold up when more and more and more and more data is applied to it. So this idea of Big O notation, basically asking, how well can this algorithm, how well can this function perform when more and more and more data is given to it? By the way, at Parsley, we have software engineers look over your code, grade it, give you feedback, because that's a huge benefit. That's something I didn't have. I didn't get this until really my second job, which leads me to next job. One of the biggest mistakes I made here, this is a really small startup that I've talked about in the past where I was literally the worst developer on the team, like very obviously so, and didn't have a great experience here. But ultimately, it kind of was a transformative experience because I learned, okay, I'm the worst. How do I get better? I was working around some of the smartest people I've ever met, and they offered me a ton of insight into what good code looks like and how to really write good tests, how to be extremely rigorous in what you're writing, how to, you know, move fast, how to use cutting edge technology, language specifications. Just amazing developers. Can't say enough good stuff about them. A couple of them are millionaires, I believe now, because they were literally what I would consider geniuses. Very, very lucky to be in close proximity to these genius nerds. Anyway, I was trying to be in my little code hole, didn't want to say anything. And so I didn't. I basically didn't say anything for the full year I was there. And at the previous company, I also didn't say anything. And there's a danger in doing that. And I got called out for it, one. But two, I made a massive mistake. I was told to update some code in a Ruby code base, which I had learned on the job. Not uncommon, by the way, to go to different jobs and have to learn completely different tech stacks. I was talking to a student at Parsity a week ago. He's at a job using TypeScript. I've talked to some that have gone on to do jobs in Java, which is completely different than what we teach, but it's interesting. You teach these foundational skills and you can do all sorts of cool stuff. Anyway, here I was with Ruby. They asked me to do something, to update some code. I pretended to understand. Big, big red flag there. Don't ever do that, by the way. Pretending, nodding your head and saying, oh yeah, I got it, and kind of figuring it out on your own and not really understanding. That is usually the root cause of all your problems as a developer. We have egos. I get it. I do too. Even now, I have, you know, I don't want to admit when I don't know something. I feel a lot more confident admitting that I don't know something. But when you're first starting out, you just want to fit in. You don't want to not know something because you're thinking, do they expect me to know this? Are they going to laugh at me if I don't know this thing? And so here I am nodding my head saying, oh yeah, I got it. I put out this code, didn't understand how it worked in Ruby. And next thing you know, I introduced code that sent off thousands of emails to customers. And at the end of the day, super embarrassed. These are like new customers to a small startup. So a few customers getting like literally 100 emails, you could imagine that was not a great experience for them. They were not pleased. The CEO was not pleased. And I thought, oh, I'm getting fired. Plot twist, by the way, I didn't get fired from literally any of these companies. And I'm not saying that to encourage you to write poor code or to never speak and just do a bunch of mistakes, you are going to make mistakes as a developer. It is just part of the deal. If you ask a developer for the old "I dropped the database" story, a lot of developers have that story. It's less likely to happen nowadays because there's more security and protocols around things like giving people access to databases. But everybody's done some really unforgivable error at some point. And some people do get fired, but it's rare. It's rarer than you probably think. It's understood that you're going to make some mistakes. What's more important is that you learn from them. So when I did this, I made a commitment to myself, a promise to myself to not pretend like I knew stuff anymore. Have I still fallen into that trap? Yeah, a few times. But overall, I've gotten much better about that because I realize that is when you really can lose trust with people. It's better to say you don't understand something up front rather than admitting it in the after you've messed something up. It just people lose trust in you when you do that. Next company went to. This one was an interesting one. I was reviewing code for a much more senior person, and I didn't really understand the code. Again, kind of back to that sub problem or that root problem of pretending to know something you don't. Anyway, I was reviewing the code, and I thought, this looks pretty good. This guy is a senior developer here. What could I possibly have to tell him? Seems like he knows what he's doing. I'm going to go ahead and give this a rubber stamp and approve this code. Code reviews, by the way, are a fact of life as a software developer. You write code, somebody else will look at it and then tell you, is this good enough? Do you need to change things? Again, always a plug for Parsity. I got to plug Parsity, right? We do that at Parsity. We have code reviews from a director of engineering at the time. Pretty amazing, actually, if you ask me, the fact that we give students access to this person specifically, a person that's a director level. Anyway, I did not review this nearly good enough. It went out to production, went out on the World Wide Web, and broke. And I am on Slack, and I see a little Slack message come through. It says, "Hi." By the way, if you start off a Slack message or a Teams chat or any kind of chat with "Hi," just know that you're raising people's anxiety levels by a factor of 100, right? So I know something's wrong. The lead developer Slacks me and says, "Hi." And I Slack back. I said, "Hey, what's up?" He's like, "Hey, do you have time to chat later today?" And I thought, oof, that doesn't sound good. He wasn't a guy that just liked to chat, you know, later on in the day. So he hits me up later. We get on a phone call. He said, "Hey, did you review this code?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, how did you miss X, Y, and Z? Like, there's a spelling error here. Obvious the functionality isn't working. Like, did you do anything to test this?" And I just admitted to him. I said, "You know, I should have done all that. And to be honest, because he's more senior than me and I didn't fully understand the code, I just rubber stamped it." And he's like, "Okay, well, let me make it clear. You can't just do that." I said, "This is really important that you review the code really, really thoroughly and that it matters because, like, it's not only that he made a mistake, but you reviewed it and also, like, put your stamp of approval on it. So even though he wrote it, it's like you'd share the blame with him." And that really kind of blew my mind because I thought, well, wow, and he's right. Like, I'm the one that said it was okay. So I rubber stamped it. I said, "This is fine," even though it wasn't. That was completely my fault. And from that day forward, I vowed to be the best damn code reviewer in that organization. So I watched how he wrote code reviews. I went over the code reviews that he would write, and I'd look at them, and I'm like, what is he doing that I'm not doing? And I'm like, wow, he's really meticulous. And I even asked him, I said, "How long do you spend doing a code review?" He's like, "Depends. Sometimes up to an hour, sometimes more if it's really complex." And I thought, whoa, that is way longer than I'm spending on a code review. I'd spend like a few minutes, like max. I was just looking them over for anything super glaring and then just calling it a day. He's like, "Oh, no, no." He would give them feedback on all sorts of stuff. He'd write comments in there and they were always respectful. And I took that and I just mimicked his style. And then at the yearly review, people said Brian was the best code reviewer they'd had. And so I'd gone from worst to best code reviewer, really just copying what he did and taking his advice to heart. So not reviewing code or basically this idea that your work is alone, that you can be kind of some lone wolf coder, doesn't work. You are on a team. And if you want to be a leader on a team, there's other ways besides writing the best code that you can achieve that. And one way is giving really thorough code reviews. Another big mistake I made at this place was not asking for a raise. I'd been there for a year. I came in at not the level I really wanted. And then I thought, I guess I have to interview. I got an offer for $30,000 more than I was currently making, which is significant. I thought, oh, no brainer. I'm out of here. I go back, ready to pack my bags. And I'm like, I'm out of here. Got a big old fat, you know, raise at some other place. They say, wait. Why didn't you tell us that you wanted a raise? And I just kind of froze. They said, you know, we had no clue that you wanted more money. What made you think that we wouldn't just give you more? And I thought, well, it's so much. I mean, how could I possibly ask for that much more? And they said, well, but we didn't even know that you were unhappy with your current salary. And they said, you know, in the future, you could just ask. And then that kind of blew my mind too. I'm like, you're right. I should have just asked. What's the worst that could happen? They say, no. In this case, they said, you know what? We'll match that. You stay with us. You get on the track. We'll match that. And I thought, that what? And that was wild to me. And it taught me a very valuable lesson. You need to speak up and advocate for yourself because no one else will. Also, by the way, when I went to that other company, they lowballed me too. And because I was too chicken to say I didn't want to take the offer, I just said, you know what? I want $30,000 more. The recruiter was pissed. But then they came back and said, yeah, sure, you got it. And I was like, what? And then I still didn't go. That recruiter probably is cursing me somewhere. He's like, they gave you $30,000 and you still didn't take it? Ultimately, I left both companies, which leads me to current role. I got into a leadership position. How did that happen? Through a series of fortunate events. You know, I'll be honest. Sometimes I feel very lucky. Sometimes I feel like I fell into all these things. And maybe I have. I also think that luck plays a role in all of our lives, but you just have to be prepared for when luck hits. I wasn't ready to be a manager. I'm still not sure how I'm doing overall, to be completely honest with you. I'm doing my best, still learning a lot about what it means to lead. And one of the biggest mistakes I've made recently was creating a feature that no one asked for. Here I am thinking like a developer, but I also have power, which I've never really had before as a developer. I'm used to people telling me what they want done. Now I'm in a position I can kind of make some decisions on what we're going to do. And so I did. I'm like, you know what we need? We need this feature. And it was a complex feature. Took time, effort. I mean, ultimately costs money because people's hours are worth money, right? Did this feature. We deployed it. And no one asked for this feature. It was not a good idea. It wasn't a good use of time. Didn't move us any closer to any business goal we had. And ultimately, people said, what was this for? And then we ended up throwing it away. That taught me another very valuable lesson. You know, software coding, I enjoyed as a hobby. I also enjoyed doing it because I like working on technical problems. I also should have asked and sought feedback for something besides just going out and doing it. Big mistake. Also not playing politics in quotes. Politics gets a bad rap. People say, I don't want to play politics. Newsflash, we're all playing politics. So if you're in a company, you are by nature going to play this game of politics, but it's not politics. It's more just relationship building. It's advocating for yourself. It's knowing how to play the game. Corporate culture, startup culture, any place where you're in a work environment, there's a game being played. Why do some people get promoted faster? Why do some people get demoted faster? Why do some people get cool projects? Why do some projects mean more than others? You have to understand these things if you want to play the game. You can't do the game where you're sitting in a code hole, never speaking up, and never taking on projects that people find interesting or move the business forward. If you do, you're making yourself at risk and making yourself ultimately disposable, right? You don't want to do that. And if you want to make relationships and you want to get further up the career ladder, that's like something you're into, you got to play the game. You got to know, like, how do I talk about myself in a way that doesn't sound like bragging? How do I make myself visible to people if I'm online being remote? I didn't take this seriously at all. I thought I'm just going to do great work and it's going to speak for itself. That is completely naive. If you think you can just do great work and it's somebody's going to just notice it somewhere, you're fooling yourself a bit. Most places do not operate like this, not because of some terrible culture they have, but really there's a lot of people out there. It's hard to know what all of us are doing. You might think you're really important in your small little corner of the organization, but what do other people know what you do? How are they going to know what you do? You got to figure out ways to show off what you're doing without looking like a show off. And that includes good presentation skills, which I didn't take seriously at all either. I'm like, okay, now I need to learn how to present things, tell a story in a way that actually makes people that might not write code care. How do I make people care about what I'm doing that have no clue about the code? I have to figure out ways to get people, to bring them into our little world, show them what we're doing, why it's important, why they might care, and why they might want to work with us more. That way I can hire more people. That way I can ask for more stuff. That way I can be seen as a really integral part of this organization. I'm still learning a lot of stuff. I've left out a ton of other errors probably that I've made over the years. And I'll be making more and more and more errors in the future with the businesses that I run or the code that I write or the positions that I'm in. I'm sure when I get to the next position or the next company, I'll be learning again from scratch. I'll be starting over in some ways and I'll be making many of the same mistakes. Hopefully you learned a little bit about how you can avoid some of these things as well. And if nothing else, maybe you got a little chuckle out of some of the stupid stuff I've done. Hope you don't think less of me. And just remember this when you're reading anybody's advice online or you're looking at them in some sort of, you know, fancy way or in some high esteem. Remember, we're all just human, screwing up, making mistakes, getting by, figuring it out. And then hopefully, if you do, you can share it and the rest of us can learn from you as well. See you around. That'll do it for today's episode of the Develop Yourself podcast. To learn more about becoming a software engineer with us, then check out Parsity.io. If you're not quite ready for that, then jump into our Dev30.xyz program, which is 30 days of working on your mindset, habits, and JavaScript skills. Totally worth it. See you next week.